this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani discuss the Chai Mei Museum in Taiwan.
So Yehuda, we know that you were traveling. You are so respected around the world. When we last talked, we were talking about China. I wanted to return there for a minute. I heard that in Taiwan, there is a guy who's made a lot of money and who has one of the largest collections of rare Italian instruments. Is that true?
It's absolutely true. And it was a very interesting experience for me because they told me when you come, you don't need to travel with your cello.
Right.
Come without a cello. And they probably were trying to save one airfare ticket because, you know, when I travel my cello, it gets a seat on the plane.
Yeah.
But it so happens that in Taiwan, there is the CEO, he's now 90 years old. He's the CEO of a huge company, rubber. It's a special kind of rubber that is used for medical equipment, for agricultural tools, for parts of cars, for Lego is made out of it. It's very hard rubber.
Yeah.
And so
he has a lot of money.
It's a global company, and he made an unbelievable amount of money. He came back to his little hometown, which is a modest coastal town in the south of Taiwan, and spent literally, I'm not using it as just an exaggeration, spent $1 billion building his own Versailles with gardens and artificial lakes and bridges and lights at night in the middle of this, you know, shanty town, basically. Incredible. And in this place, he has some medieval armor and some artwork, but the main collection is Italian instruments. Stradivarius and Amati and Guarnerius. Unbelievable collection. It's one of the largest in the world. And
so when a Stradivarius goes up for auction, and we never know who is bidding on the phone,
right.
It could be him.
Exactly. He collects them, and all the dealers know about him.
Yeah.
And you know what this did, Alan, to the price of those instruments?
Right up through the wall.
He's hoarding them, and according to the law of supply and demand.
How many of them are there? I mean, do we know how many Stradivari instruments were created?
There were three generations of Stradivarius.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't realize
that. They come, and the same with Guarnerius. Some are damaged, some are in better condition. But I came there and they made me an offer to choose. They gave me a choice of cellos. And, you know, it was mouthwatering.
Not for yourself.
For the 10 days that I was
there.
Oh,
yeah, okay.
Not for myself. Mm-hmm. There was a cello of the King of France was a cellist, Charles. And there was a cello that was decorated with the fleur-de-lis, or the French symbol, and amazing drawings on it. And one of three in the entire world. And it's there in this little town in Taiwan.
What happens when he dies?
He has his own luthier. Of course, you know, somebody is in charge of maintaining the collection.
Yeah.
The place is air-conditioned, humidity controlled.
Sure.
What happens when he dies? Who knows? It's a foundation. It's called the Chi Mei Foundation.
Yeah. You saw all of this. Did you get a chance to talk to him about it?
Not to the old man.
No,
I talked to the man who is in charge.
Yeah.
There's another person in Japan who is doing something similar. There is a copycat Taiwanese business who is doing the same thing.
Really?
And it makes you wonder, where is the future of classical music going if this shift represents more than just a collection?
Talk to me, because when I've talked to, you know, and I've interviewed many musicians at Tanglewood, other places, and they have these superb instruments, obviously.
Obviously.
How much does a Stradivarius go for these days? I don't mean to be gauche.
It's astronomical. If it's in good condition, if it's $15, $18, $20 million.
No.
Yes. And you know what people do now? Those who own them, they put in chips so you can trace it wherever it is.
Well, in case it's left in a taxi cab, which has
been
happening before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now with high tech, you can actually trace the cello wherever it is taken or stolen.
Well, they've been stolen, obviously, over the years. Who is the best cello maker of all times? Was it the Stradivarius?
Stradivarius made better violins than cellos.
Yes, that's the question.
It's a question of personal opinion, too. There are some other makers, like Teckler. David Teckler made better cellos than violin. My cello is Teckler. I've seen some Teckler violins. They're very nice, but they're not as successful as a Teckler cello.
Well, how much is yours worth?
I think the last, the estimate?
Yeah.
Insurance was $2
million. Wow, you're a rich man.
I'm not.
I didn't realize it. Now, I do know, in talking to many of the people who own these instruments, that they'll say to you, or who have these instruments, that they don't own them, that the orchestra may own them.
Quite often.
Yes, because they're, you know, people couldn't afford them.
At this point, young artists definitely cannot afford. So the Chi Mei Foundation lends them or loans them.
Really?
Yeah, not the top level, not the highest level, but the decent level. One of my students from Taiwan is actually using cello from the Chi Mei Foundation.
Can you imagine if you drop it? It couldn't be a good day, could it?
It wouldn't be a good day.
Yeah. No. How much of a difference does it make that you play
a question.
Great instrument?
You know, the musicianship would come across if you play on a student cello too. You know, if you have if you're a great artist, you have something to say. You will say it. It has to be decent. The strings have to be fresh. The bow has to be rehaired properly. But when it comes to those fine points, it's like wine.
Alan Chartok speaking with Yehuda Hanani in our segment, Classical Music According to Yehuda. For information about Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.